Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Leslie Gaudet. After 4 decades working as a legal assistant and paralegal in the corporate world, it left her feeling emotionally and physically drained. And that's when she decided she had to make some changes. Leslie is a mindset and emotional awareness coach for women. She helps her clients achieve self-awareness around their emotional triggers through shifting their mindset so they can make better decisions when they respond, which allows them to bring more balance, peace, and harmony into their life. Leslie, welcome to the space.
Hello, hello, and thank you for having me on. I'm so excited.
Yay, so am I. So happy to have you here. So after reading your bio, could you please expand a little bit more and tell us, share with us a little bit more about who you are and your journey?
Absolutely, sure. So yes, as you have just said, I have been working in the corporate world for lawyers since I was really, really super young. I was very driven, loved being in that world. But after a while, things started to really lose its grip on me, shall I say, in the fast-paced, wanting to have it all type of environment in that space, because I felt that in order to be successful, I had to work extra, extra hard. And that meant working longer hours and not having any quality of life. And I started really feeling it as I got older and realized, okay, things have got to change. But it took me almost 10 years before I even actually did anything about it. Because for me, I was that girl who was like, okay, well, I know I want more, but what am I even good at? What am I worthy of? Because a lot of it was self-worth. Am I deserving to change? I mean, I'm pretty lucky that I've been successful doing what I do, but am I even destined for more? Am I even allowed to change? Because I always thought, well, you know, you get a career and that's kind of it. Because I mean, that was the mindset I grew up with. And I realized after watching so many different women around me making changes in their life that, well, if they can do it, why am I telling myself that it's not possible? But again, like I said, it took me almost 10 years before I actually said, you know what, if I don't at least explore what's out there, I'm not going to make change. And 10 years from now, I'm still going to be sitting here thinking the same things. And so for me, it was really about just looking online. And we're so lucky because we have the internet, and I didn't realize, wow, it's at my fingertips, but I wasn't taking advantage of it. And so I started looking around and started really seeing, okay, well, what are women doing these days to actually transition out of a corporate world where it felt like it's dog eat dog, you know, the whole mindset around working in that type of environment is really about how you can get ahead, and how you can get ahead a lot of the time by stepping on other people. And so I thought, well, these women are doing these two types of things. So how are they doing it? And I actually met someone who said, you know what, I'm in the health and wellness space. And I wasn't quite sure if that's where I belonged as far as what it was, because that health and wellness space was more of a product-based service. And I love the products, but I didn't necessarily feel like, yeah, it just wasn't lighting me up. But being in the health and wellness space opened me up to learning about self-love and growth mindset and empowering yourself and taking care of yourself and all of those things. And so for me, that was the biggest aha, was like, okay, you might not know what it is that you want to do right now, but there is a place for you. Just start here and start working on yourself. And part of that too was I knew I didn't really like who I was at the time. I was very unhappy. And I also was a blamer. Like, I blame shifted everyone else on my circumstances, my husband. I thought it was his job to make me happy, you know, and it was his fault that I wasn't. And so, again, it was a lot of self-reflection. But, wow, I mean, what a journey, because it really has, I'm a different person completely than I was 5 years ago, because that's when it just really started changing for me. This is the woman that I am today, that I can say, you know what, I love you, and unconditionally, without judgment or criticism, even during all of those messy moments, I can still look at myself with that, you know, that praise of myself. And it's hard as women to do that. So yeah, it was a journey, but I'm really excited being in the space I am and where I'm going with my life.
So inspirational. And I so appreciate you sharing all that. Words that kind of like jumped out at me as you were talking were the words allowed, destined. I thought, I love how you talked about there almost being like a bridge or the baby steps of starting someplace, even though you didn't knew that that wasn't necessarily your space, but it was kind of like the starting point, which then bridged to what you're doing now. And
absolutely.
I was also wondering about the role models, because I was thinking that word role model as you were talking, because you said you saw women who were doing these things. Can you think of anybody in particular at the moment that was your role model, or was it just kind of a general
scene? Well, I mean, people? So the woman that I met, she's younger than I am, but I have no problem with, because age to me is not, it's not about a number. It's actually about where you're at in your life. And so, and that could be maturity level. It could be just your level of awareness of self. And so she really helped me realize, okay, health and wellness is about looking after yourself. And so she introduced me to that space. And then what ended up happening, my husband and I, we were living on the west coast of the US, we were living in California, and we ended up moving to Las Vegas. And that is really where I started transitioning into the true pursuit of self-love. I met a lot of people, a lot of young women who inspired me. One of them, I'll name her. Her name's Amanda Silva. She lives in Las Vegas, and she's a self-love coach. And what I loved about her was that for someone that was so young, because she's 20 years younger than I am, I felt like I had the life experience, and yet she had this worldly view of what it meant to really look at yourself with kindness, with empathy, with compassion and forgiveness and all of those things that I wasn't even allowing myself to look at, and helping me to do this deeper reflection. And so I really looked up to someone, like, as I said, I have no problem with the age, because I felt like she was a kindred spirit to me. And I started meeting other like-minded young women who were on this path, and I was really, really inspired and amazed and just so grateful to have them come into my life. And that really helped me become a better woman, not only for myself, but also it healed parts of my marriage that were, I felt it was me really like putting these expectations on a marriage that really, it's not about him making me happy. It was about me choosing my own happiness and bringing that to the relationship. And so again, it was really, really great for me to have these young women inspiring me and influencing me to be my best self, so that it helped me to like start looking at where can I find things that I can adopt as my own tools and as part of my own skill set, and realize as I was going on this journey, I want to help other women who might have been feeling like I was in that whole blame shifting, in that whole, I don't love myself, I'm not happy, I'm completely miserable, and yet I don't know what to do, and help them not go through another 10 years of their lives where they're looking back thinking, I didn't do anything, nothing's changed, and I'm feeling even worse than I was. And so it really got me into that whole mindset of, I want to start working with other people to show them that it's, there's possibilities for you if you're just open to it.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be such a great conversation. It really, I'm getting so excited. I'm like, because I love how you bring up age and that component of it, because I think that's really, really important. I'm relating to that for sure, because a lot of times we think that, you know, when we're older, well, I can't listen to somebody younger. What do they know? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's that being open to possibilities of hearing various perspectives and viewpoints and teaching us something. I think that is, it's just so, so important for growth. And I just love that you brought that up. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah, absolutely. It's very important because I don't profess to know everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm willing to listen to especially the younger generation, because I want to be able to impart any wisdom that I have for what I've gone through. But I am also open to learning, because the world is changing, and things that I might not have been aware of, because maybe I'm not seeing those things, but they're living those things and they're experiencing those things. They can share that with me, and I might be able to actually give them a different perspective and how to move through even the things that they're working through, and what they're working through can also help me in some of the things that I'm working through. So it really, I just feel that we can learn from one another, and as women empowering each other as well, like especially, you know, with me being an older woman, and I don't say this in a way to say like, oh, well, I'm obsolete being an older woman, but I mean that I have a life experience, and if I can impart any wisdom at all and have any lasting legacy where I help someone else behind me live their life truly with purpose, passion, and loving themselves, that they can then, it trickles backwards towards to someone behind, coming up behind them, and the same thing going backwards and backwards for each new generation coming forward. Yeah. That is like, that's my dream. Like, that's my dream.
So friggin' powerful. Okay, so let's start with the would you rather question. Then we're going to dive into our first question and talk more Absolutely. About all of this good stuff. So, okay. Leslie, would you rather have every traffic light be green or never have to stand in line?
Oh, gosh. Every traffic light be green or never stand in line? Ooh. I don't know if I can say either. And I'll tell you why. I don't know if I would want every traffic light to be green, and I don't know if I would never want to stand in line, because you learn about yourself when you have to pause, and you learn about yourself if you're in line somewhere, because you never know, there might be someone there that may need to hear your voice, may need to hear a word from you, or you may need to hear something. So for me, I don't know if I would want any light, all my lights to be green, and I don't know if I would never want to stand in line, because then I wouldn't be learning.
I love that. It's so funny. A while ago, we were having a conversation where I was talking to my husband and my son, who was probably like 18 at the time, and our daughter, who was probably like 15. And I was like, yeah, you know, you wait in line and you talk to people while you're waiting. Like, don't you talk to people? My husband and son were like, why? Like, why would you do that? I'm like, well, why wouldn't you do that? They've kind of changed their perspective since the while ago conversation. But it was just funny because they were like, why? I'm like, oh my God, this is such a stereotype that you guys are living. It's like you turn around, you talk to the woman behind you, or the man if they're willing to talk, if circumstance presents itself, and you find out about your whole lives within 5 minutes, and then you say, have a good day. It's just kind of what happens.
And you know, there's another thing to that too, because I feel like we're all deeply connected in some way or another. We just, a lot of the time, we just don't even notice each other, but we are connected in a way. And I mean, if you ever had that conversation with someone, you've just met them and you end up talking to them and you feel like you could keep on talking and never end the conversation because you just enjoy the conversation, because there's that deeper connection that if you had ignored it, you might never have had this conversation with this person. So I just feel like, as I said, standing in line, yeah, I'm like you. I've been on train rides where I'll just talk to the next person and we just end up talking all the whole way. Or I'll be on a plane ride if I'm by myself going somewhere and I'll talk to the person sitting next to me. Or standing in line, like you say, you're at the grocery store, you're in line at Starbucks. You get, if you go through life and you don't allow yourself to connect, how are you going to find out what you are even capable of? Like you're worthy, like your worthiness is based on how you feel about yourself. But if you don't like yourself very much and you go through life not connecting with other people, you're isolating yourself from possibilities of actually maybe even coming out of your shell. So that's how I look at it. I always want to be able to like say hello. You know, walking down the street, a stranger passing me by, even if they don't say hello back, I'm going to say hello, because that's just who I am.
Right. Yeah. Not holding back from your authenticity.
Absolutely.
Whew. Okay. So here we go. Let's dive in. So I want to welcome our live listeners. So happy to have you here. Please feel free to type in any questions or comments in the chat as we go along. We appreciate you taking the time to be with us. So, first question is, Leslie, so how do you define creativity?
Yes. So I've been looking forward to answering these questions, and I was thinking about it a little bit more, actually, about maybe a half hour ago. I thought, well, how am I going to talk about creativity? And I realized, for me, it's the willingness to be open to and accepting of change. Because it's inevitable, right? And so when you allow yourself to pivot, especially too, because there's that pivoting part of the process that a lot of people, not only are they afraid of change, but they're afraid to move a different direction, especially if you've got it all mapped out. This is the way it's got to be. And if you let yourself be open to those new opportunities and those new connections, new possibilities, whatever that looks like, and you give yourself permission to explore it, then you can actually figure out, what am I good at? And for me, my creativity came in the written word. And I didn't realize just how important that was for me until I started writing my own content and finding out I loved it. I mean, I really love to share. I love to find the answers and to get curious about myself and about people and what makes people tick, and just, you know, how we go through life and what makes people happy as far as like being creative, whether it's the written word or if it's painting or if it's whatever type of artistry that you go towards. For me, growing up, I was an artist. I went to art school, but I only went for a year, and part of that was my self-worth. I didn't trust myself to be by myself without my friends, because they didn't go to art school with me. And so I missed out on that opportunity for fear of being alone. And so as I got older and started gravitating towards the written word, and I started even having fun, like just my whole life, having fun writing stories, not for really anyone in particular, but just writing and dreaming up stories. And writing them down and not necessarily doing anything with it, but just having that creative mind. And so for me, creativity is just actually just being open to the possibility of something coming your way that shows you what you are, you know, capable of or good at. and just being open to it. Because I think a lot of the time, if you're not open to what you're good, like if you're not open to seeing what the possibility is for your life, you don't know what you're good at. And so I just allowed myself to say, you know what, let these things come to me. I'm open. And I know there's another question coming and I'll tell you the next answer to that. But it allowed me to be open, and a lot of things have come my way because I've been open, and it's come my way in the form of written word. And so that's for me creativity.
I really like, which explains, you know, what how you were explaining your journey when we first started the conversation, but you using the word allowing yourself to pivot, because mm-hmm. here you were in corporate for 40 years, mm-hmm. and then you had a feeling that there was other things that you wanted to lead towards, but you didn't know what that was. So here, like you're saying, talking about when people kind of get fearful, or that concept of, well, I went to school for this, or I've been doing it for so long that they stay in it and kind of deny themselves the other things that are kind of presenting themselves or kind of giving you that butterfly feeling in your stomach, but you're like, but I'm supposed to be doing this because I've been doing it for so long. Or that idea mm-hmm. of, I'm not sure what I should be doing, but I know there's something else, but you're not opening yourself up to it. I think that your definition really is talking about your journey.
Yeah, and it can be really scary, too, to actually say, okay, I don't know what that looks like, but I'm in. And that's a scary place to be, because then you're in the uncomfortable space of waiting. Okay, I'm open, and so what's coming at you? You don't know. But if you allow yourself that, because it really is giving yourself permission to explore. And I think, especially as women, now I know, I'm not sure how men would perceive that as far as, I think men have been a little bit more I don't know if it's encouraged, but have felt braver to explore other things. And I think as women, we feel almost like we have to ask that permission. Am I allowed to go out and do something different? Because that's what I was thinking. Am I allowed to even change? Or is this what since I'm good at it, is this the choice for me? And I think that was what really allowed me to say, you know what? No, I'm actually going to, I don't have to be in that cookie cutter box where everyone tells you this is the way it's supposed to be. I'm going to step outside of it, outside of the norm, and I'm going to explore what's good for me. And so, yeah, that's why I feel like being creative can take the form of so many different things. And being creative can even just be giving yourself that permission and then allowing the creative part to come to you.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I was just talking to a gentleman the other day, and he was saying that, you know, he is coaching men, and a lot of it's about health and mindset and emotions, because men are so often not taught to show their emotions and really feel it. And it just made me think of it, because, you know, I think that men also suffer from responsibility, and especially when you get into adulthood, and if you have kids, or even if not kids, you still have a mortgage and, you know, your car payments and everything kind of going on, that it's like, well, I need to stay in this stable space where I know what to expect because I've been doing it for so long. I mean, we know the story. I don't have to explain mm-hmm. it any more than that. But mm-hmm. When I spoke to him, I was like, that's amazing. You're talking to men also to really, and I know a big part of what you also talk about is emotions mm-hmm. and really Absolutely. Talking about how emotions are beautiful and we need to express, because I'm saying it on my own. And, you know, if you don't express, then you repress. Emotions are a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think too, unfortunately, I think what's happened in our society is that when someone's emotional, it becomes that stigma of, oh, you're being emotional or you're being overly emotional. When in fact, I think our emotions are beautiful. It's just not allowing them to lead our lives. But I think they can guide you. They guide you in whether you have a gut feeling and you have an emotion about something. They can guide you, like you feel good about doing something or you don't feel good about doing something. Having an emotional, like, you know, not even being able to feel love. If you couldn't feel love, I mean, that would be a sad, for me, I think that would be really super sad. Even if you've had your heart broken, I feel like that saying, you know, it's better to have loved than to have never, and lost than to have never loved at all. I think that that is really a powerful statement. And I think one that even though we all don't want, wish to explore heartache, I would still think that having had that time where you've actually felt love, like real love, that's a really beautiful thing. But I think taking it a step further, when it comes to self-love, I've talked to so many women who cannot even say, I love myself, because there's always a but at the end of that sentence. Right. That I wish I was better, like I wish I was this, or I wish that this was better in my life. There's not self-satisfaction of where they're at right now and believing that they are enough. And so that is really what's so important to me, is that especially with emotions, is like allowing yourself to believe, to know that, giving yourself permission to have your emotions, but then also understanding that your emotions don't have to be the ruler of your life, that you actually can take back control over that piece. And then you can live your life with a little bit more focus, more clarity, you know, in those trigger moments.
Mm. Yeah, you were, when we first started talking about emotion and to better to have had than not to have had, I was thinking of contrast, you know, like, It's the contrast of, if you've never had anything and you continue to never have anything, then you don't know what it is to have. So if you have something and you feel it and then it's not a good, you know, you lose love, you're out of love, and then, but then you continue to move on. If you've never had it, then you don't know what to compare it to. You don't know what you like and what you don't like. So we need to have those experiences and those emotions in order to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, some of them are going to be very painful. But again, it's just learning, allowing yourself to learn. And you actually grow from it. The more self-aware you become around your emotions and how you respond to things, you grow from that. You learn from it. You actually respond differently because you're more aware. And so, I mean, it takes work, and it's not like a one and done. It's an everyday thing that you have to be willing and open to exploring every day. But again, when you have that self-awareness, you feel better. You have better relationships. You have better responses to things that happen to you, that happen split second, and you have to like decide, how am I going to respond? So it really does make a difference when you dive into that and take that journey. And that was really powerful for me when I did it. And it's been powerful for me working with other people going through the same process.
Yeah. Getting to know ourselves, it's like really, we're so busy, 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 you know, or we put that label on it. We're running around. We have too much to do. That's what I hear so much of. Oh, the word creativity, which, you know, my mission is to expand the definition of creativity, to really empower people to see it as their voice, as their expression. That's how I define it, is creativity is that. It's basically everything that you are. It's how you present yourself, how you speak, how you show up. But so many people will be like, oh, I don't know how to draw. I don't know how to paint. Oh, I don't have time to do those artsy, craftsy things. You know, it's just busy, busy, busy. But it's not taking the time to really learn about yourself and be like, oh, I work in corporate, but we're always problem solving. And I really enjoy that aspect of things. I really enjoy using my imagination to think about how, you know, what this is going to look like and what the next deal is going to look like and what words am I going to use. Like you said, putting it down on paper, like writing things down and scripting things out, or, you know, whatever that looks like. Those are all creative aspects. How we parent, the choices that we make and what we're going to eat and what we're wearing, like everything is absolutely a creative moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing too, I find is that we're living in a world where it's like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? And that we're not actually being grateful and focusing on the now. So it's like, you can say you're grateful all day long about all of the things in your life that you have, but if you don't really truly really think about when you're saying the words. It's not just about saying them, it's actually feeling it. So I have like my moment, one of my most favorite days of my life that I can look back on with such joy, and it brings a grin to my face, is my wedding day. And I still to this day can remember the moment I woke up in the morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, and my friend said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I just can't wait to get started." And it was still like 12 hours away, but I was so excited, and I still remember, I can still feel that moment, though that day, everything about it. And so being able to like be truly grateful is not just saying the words, it's actually focusing on not only the memory, but the feelings that are associated with it. Because then you can say, oh yeah, okay, I do have these great memories. And they do make me smile. And those are the things that keep you going, especially during those moments when you don't feel so good. And so, yeah, it's just that really to me is emotions. That's why to me it's so important is to embrace them, because they are, yes, powerful to make you feel not so good about yourself, but they're also super powerful to help you to enjoy and to be grateful and to lean into those moments of like, I have so much that's given to me every day and I am super lucky, and being really conscious of it.
Yeah. It's really that visceral feeling, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you said you woke up that very specific time of on your wedding day and kind of being able to, I'm sure you could tell like every kind of moment that happened within there. And you feel it. It's that visceral feeling of, and you could be 80 years old and still go back because you feel being in that space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. Okay. So let's move on to question number 2, which is, so how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Yeah, so as I was kind of leading into from the first question, so for me, it's become the written word for me. And I'm not I never took any form of writing in my life. It's just always been coming from my heart, coming from a place of experience, just coming from like, how would I want to tell someone a story about my life? And so I allowed myself to be open to the new opportunities or connections, whatever those possibilities were going to be. And so I said, I entered this, what I call the uncomfort zone. And it's a place of not knowing what's going to happen. I just knew that I had to like allow myself to be open. And so all of a sudden, I started getting opportunities to write, and I was approached by a magazine, and we had our interview, and then I started writing articles. So the name of the magazine is Brains Magazine. They're an online global magazine, and they reach a lot of people every month. But what's really cool about that is that I had the opportunity presented to me to write. They said, "We want you to write for us," and I said, "Okay." Leslie, do you want to do this? Because this is an opportunity, but it's also a commitment. And are you ready to do this? And I was terrified because I thought, I'm not a writer. I didn't have any formal training. Who am I to think that I could actually do this? But I thought, you know what? It came to me because I was open to it. And this opportunity, I'm not letting slide. I'm not going to let it pass me by, because obviously it was put in front of me because it was meant for me to explore. Like I said, I gave myself permission to explore writing. And then, so I've been writing for them since February. Mm-hmm. And then recently I'm going to be contributing to a book. So that's going to be coming out in September. I don't really have any details to share right now, but those will come out soon. And then at the end of the year, I'm even thinking of, okay, well, I know I already have like 2 books that I want to write myself, like my own solo projects. And I've been thinking about them for a while. And this is giving me like, as I said, giving myself permission to explore these different aspects of myself, like what am I capable of? and people responding positively to my work, I thought, well, you know what, I have more to say, and I have more to say about a couple of subjects. And so now I'm looking into that. So incorporating writing into my life has been really, really empowering, because it's helped me also to be more intentional in the content that I write for my training sessions, for my ladies group, for how I write my my training and my coaching for the clients that I work with. And just allowing myself, again, I use the word allow, but before I wasn't allowing myself to do this. I wasn't allowing myself to be open to new things. I wasn't allowing myself to step into the unknown, the uncomfortable space, and being allowing the energy to just come to me. And then I could look at different things and explore what I thought felt right for me. And so because of that, because I gave myself that permission, now all of these opportunities are coming to me to write. And I'm really excited because there's more I know to do, but I don't know what that is. And I am okay with that, not knowing. Because I think a lot of us get stuck in wanting to know all of the steps, all of the things, wanting to know the future. And for me, the beauty is that our life, our journey is not just get to a place. Our journey is in our destination. And our destination is in our journey. So they go together, and the journey is always evolving. And that's what I love about it. So, that's how I've incorporated just being creative by just the permission piece. And now it's become, as I said, I'm writing for a magazine, and now I'm getting ready to contribute to a book, and I'm going to write my own. And so that it was something you could, if you asked me 5 years ago, what I'd be doing 10 years ago, I think that you were crazy if you told me this is where I would be.
Isn't it funny? I mean, I can so crazy relate. So I've been an art teacher for 30 years, working in lots of different settings, traditional and non-traditional, meaning like from homeless shelters to physical school settings to having my own businesses, professional development, just like a ton of different settings. And if I were to be told even 3 years ago that I would have my own company, I am creative, and a publishing company, I mean, I'd be like, what are you talking about? what are you talking about? And the whole writing aspect of things, I can totally relate, because I did not, you know, we put ourselves in these boxes, these labels, and I always did kind of enjoy writing and love stories, love listening to stories, and kind of just always wanted to write something, but kind of just didn't see myself that way. But I had an opportunity also to be in a multi-author book and also with Brains Magazine. And it's, I love what you said, because it's true, is it was a commitment. And that commitment to show up and to challenge yourself, so amazing. I'm so grateful for these opportunities, like intrinsically, grateful.
Absolutely. And you find out what you can actually do. Like when you give that permission to yourself to step outside of the norm, and then you realize, oh my gosh, I'm doing this. Like you said, we're both writing that we didn't know that we were capable of it. I mean, it's not that we weren't capable of telling stories, because we've both been telling stories really our whole lives.
Right.
You've been telling a lot of stories through artwork and through teaching art and how to do that, as well as, you know, now your podcast, you're telling stories through your interviews with your guests. And it's really all about stories. Like everything that we do in our lives, every conversation that we have is a story, really. Even if it's a business conversation, it's still a story of sorts. And it might not seem that way when you're in the business world, but it is a story of sorts, because you're talking about something. And a lot of the time, especially if you take a moment to get to know another person, someone new, like you said, standing in line, or as I was saying, I would be on a train going somewhere, or on a flight by myself, And I would talk to the person sitting next to me, and the whole way we would just be sharing about ourselves, but that's all stories, stories about ourselves. And so that's what I love about writing. And I thought, I don't have to be perfect. I always thought I had to be. And that's why I was a little bit hesitant and almost missed the opportunity, because I was going to get in my own way, thinking, well, who do you think you are to be a writer when you've had no formal training? You never went to writing school. You never took any writing courses. And yet I thought, everyone can tell stories. And so just come from that place of authenticity and tell my truth, and someone is going out there is going to resonate. And if I speak their language, that's amazing. I don't have to speak the language of every human being on this planet. But as long as I meet if I resonate with just one person and they get my story and it relates to maybe something they're going through and it can help them, that's gold to me. And that's the same thing when I work with anyone. Like if I can get you to have that one aha moment where you look and you say, you know what? I didn't realize that I was saying, oh yeah, I love myself, but, or I really like myself, but I wish, you know, instead of saying, you know, I love myself wholly and unconditionally, without any judgment or criticism, and not have anything follow after that. It's very hard. Right?
Nothing good follows a but. A but or a should. There's nothing. It's just like, stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the point about, you know, everything being a story, because I was just always a little different. I guess just always thought of things with a different bend. And I kind of always thought of life as like a movie, and you're the main character, whether you choose to be the main character or not, a supporting character. But I just kind of always thought, like, you're walking and, you know, you briefly, you know, rub shoulders with somebody. You're in each other's lives for that moment, and then, you know, keep going. When you're talking to a person for that brief moment, they were in your movie for a short period of time, but for that moment, and then kept going. I mean, we all have stories. It's just whether we, how much content we put in there.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think, too, is that a lot of the time, even with your children, you're telling stories around the dinner table about your day. And you'll remember those. Oh, do you remember that time when we talked about whatever that was? That's a story that you're remembering. So every conversation is a story, no matter the length of it. But I think that's when I started thinking about it from that aspect, I realized, okay, I can write, because I have stories to tell about my personal experiences, through my own journey and from other people. And so that's where I can start from and learn more about myself as I go and be open and giving myself permission just to keep learning about myself.
That whole, I think this is going to kind of be the thread through the conversation, is permission to explore.
For sure, because I think, again, like I said, and I think if this will even go for men as well, like I know that men have been really super encouraged over generations to be more assertive in the things, going after the things that they want. But I think nowadays, there's still a little bit of giving themselves permission to now be vulnerable and open to exploring their emotions, because I think that's the piece where men may struggle a little bit, whereas women, we've always been open to exploring our emotions, but not necessarily giving ourselves permission to say, okay, this is what I'm going through, and now how do I work through it and manage it? But we've always been open to exploring our emotions, because that's just, we've been given that permission always, where men haven't really been given that permission. So I think that's part of, I think, even that giving yourself permission can work for men as well, when we talk about emotions, because I think that's a really hard, hard conversation at times for men to have and be open to it. And I'll just give you one quick example. My husband, when we first met, he said just prior to meeting me, the first time he cried at a movie was something he was watching, and he didn't tell me, or he might have told me the movie, but I don't quite remember because we've been married 25 years now. But he told me that he cried the first time, and he says I couldn't believe it because I felt this. My face was wet, and I couldn't believe. Yeah, I mean, literally, like he was amazed. And so again, it's he gives himself permission. He kind of jokes with me about it. And he looks at me, and goes, "Oh, it's hot in here," because when he gets emotional. But again, you know, we have this open communication around emotion that it's okay. Like you want to cry. Cry. Like I don't look at you as less than a man because you have tears, because you actually have an emotion over what we're watching. Like if we're watching a really beautiful movie and you feel a certain way, I'd rather you show me that you have emotions than to not. So yeah, that's, it was funny when he told me about that, and I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting.
Well, that is so funny, because I was just gonna say, my son would probably, when he was like, we saw Toy Story 3, which of course was gut wrenching. That was just such. He just cried at that, man, and he leaned over. He's probably like 9 or 10. I don't know. And he's like, "Mom, my eyes are wet." I'm like, babe, it's called tears, sweet. Like you're crying, and if you weren't crying, you wouldn't be human. But so I wanted to ask you. So from the perspective, what do you think about this? So. More women now having like higher roles within businesses and everything. Do you feel like that emotion, being in touch with your emotion and showing emotion, has changed within the business context?
Well, I know from just my own experience, and I haven't really been in the corporate world in an office setting to see how women are navigating that space, but I know from my last experience, I think, with women in the workforce, I felt like there was still that stigma around them showing any type of emotion. And so a lot of women I found were still kind of not stifling their voice, but being more aggressive rather than assertive. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, we are still living maybe in the mindset that, you know, women, when they're in a leadership role, and if they are more assertive, they're considered aggressive, and that's just the stigma that's passed down, or if they really are being aggressive, I don't know, because I haven't really been around that environment for quite some time. But I think honestly that in the work environment, it's fun. I think emotions are important, but I think it's how your emotions are managing you. Like if you're in a work environment, I feel like that's where you really need to be self-aware around how you are responding to specific stimuli. And because it comes quick. Like things happen. We're in a fast-paced world. If you're in a really busy environment, how do you respond to things? And I think as men and women, they respond completely differently. And I think there's still that narrative around when a woman responds, she's being emotional. And when a man responds, he's being assertive. I think there's still that stigma. And I know, and it's funny because I've been having these conversations on Clubhouse in a room that someone I know over in the UK, he's been running. You probably know who he is. He's in Brains Magazine as well. And he's been running these rooms, and he's been talking about that, you know, how can men empower women? How can women empower men? Having this whole narrative around, you know, men and women and how we interact with each other. And a lot of it has been really eye-opening, because I think there's still these dynamics that are old school. And I think that until some of those narratives go away, where a woman is being emotional if she has a response to something and a man is not being emotional, he's just being assertive. I mean, when you change that narrative to being that they're just having
a moment, because if a man gets mad at the job, they're most of the time they're not going to say, they're just saying he's being he's upset and he's being assertive of his whatever his role is. But if a woman gets upset at the in the job environment in that space, I think she still is being stigmatized as being, oh, she's being emotional, she's having a female moment. And unfortunately, that's still the narrative that I've been hearing is being used. And so that's got to change. But obviously, it's going to take time. Listen, we're in a new world. We are in a world where people are having these conversations. Men and women are actually having these conversations together and saying, how can I show up for you in a way that's not the way it used to be, it has always been? And how can I actually change how I view things, how I respond to make it easier for you, and vice versa? How can we respect each other? So we're having these conversations. It just takes time.
Yeah, yeah. So right and so important. It really is. Because going back to when we were saying about learning from younger people, it really, I have learned so much from my kids. And, just, you know, 18 and 21, but just listening to their perspectives and kind of listening to the conversations and having conversations with them to just open things up and just open communication. It's just been, it really is an eye-opening space. And really listening to each other, I think, is key. Not just being like, but, you know, there's that but. But this is the way you should do this, because when I was growing up, you know, that whole thing, when I was growing up, this is what you do. But actually listening and having, instead of responding, like, instead of reacting, to actually respond. Sometimes even if there's a, like you said in the beginning too, the pause. Like pausing and then responding to then engage in a conversation that isn't letting any kind of emotion drive it, but really become like these learning opportunities.
For sure. Because I think if when you allow yourself to really listen, to really hear what you're hearing, because a lot of the time people are listening to respond, but if you listen so that you can understand what is being said before you respond, your response might be completely different than what you actually would have been thinking and saying if you hadn't been listening. Because there's been times in conversations, even with my husband as an example, and he'll respond before I finish my sentence, and I'll say, well, how do you know where I'm going with this?
Right.
He goes, well, I know. And I said, well, how do you know? Because you're not in my head, are you?
Right.
So that's why I'm saying it's just having that, like, just understanding. So I love that you have these conversations with your children, because our children, we want them to be, because they're going to be running our world one day, right? They're going to be the ones in charge. And I would rather leave them in a healthy place where they can understand each other, where they respect one another, and that they respect that the people that went before me, that showed me the way in such a way that I respect myself and others, that means that your work is done. And that you can say, you know what, okay, I know that my world is going to be a better place. I'm leaving it in good hands, because I'm empowering the younger generation to have, you know, faith and trust in themselves. And I'm showing them that I can learn from them, but also that I can teach them something, and letting them know that it's okay to learn from someone that's older than them by teaching them how to really listen before they respond. And I think that is like a really powerful thing to do. So I love that you're doing that with your kids.
So, well, thank you. But I think it's even, you know, taking it to the classroom, being in that space for so long, I think there's the humanization piece where it's really, really amazing to, one, admit when you're wrong, two, to really listen to the people in your room so you are having the real conversations, and to allow them to really connect and communicate with each other. I mean, in the arts, it's, you know, an easier way to do that because it is a hands-on, an interactive experience. So whether you're doing it alone or with other people, But just kind of listening, I can't say how many times, like when I screwed up, honestly, I'd say, look, guys, I'm really sorry, but I messed up in either how I responded to something or in presenting something. I'm like, that lesson was kind of a flop. So let's switch gears and try something else, or let's do it in this way because I realized it obviously didn't work really as well because you guys were really frustrated. And there's really a sense of trust and respect that's gained in the space.
Yeah, because you're human, right? And when they understand that, hey, mom's having a human moment or teacher is having a human moment, because we are human, we are born with emotions. And if we can allow each other the courtesy to have those human moments, and that allows us to say, you know what, hey, I messed up. And I'm owning it. And when you can do that, that shows so much respect, not only for them, but for yourself, because you're saying, you know what, I honor myself by saying, you know what, this is my things that I'm doing that I need to work on. But I want you to know that I respect you enough to let you know that I'm not always right. And I had a human moment and I wanted you to know. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's just a healthy space to be in. So,
for sure. Well,
we are getting to the top of the hour. So I want you to give me the third question. Well, kind of, it's obviously stuff that we've touched on, but to kind of tie it up, why is creativity important?
For me, okay. So for creativity is really important, I think, because you learn about yourself when you try different things. Like I said, I was an artist, and I used to draw. Like I drew every single day from the moment I would wake up, go to school, come home. I would draw and draw before I would, all the way up until I would go to sleep, and it was every single day, like 365 days a year. I ended up giving it up, and I'm not quite sure what happened, but maybe it was just because it served its purpose for my life at that time of my life. But I think it's really important just to explore different aspects of yourself and see what you're really made of and allow yourself to grow. And that helps you to find the path that you want to take, your purpose. You know, I believe to my core that every single human being on our planet is born to add value to this world. And that means and that's why I say go out and explore different things, explore what you could do, the possibilities that are out there for you. So that you can, lean into whatever it is that you have a passion for, a desire for, even if it's only that you want to be the best mom that you can be, providing this great life for your children. And I'm not saying that that is anything that's less than someone else who's a CEO of a large corporation. I'm saying that whatever that is, whatever your purpose and passion is, explore everything that there is that's out there and be open to it, because you will learn so much about yourself, because this world is a great place. Like one of the things that I like to say is, would you rather live, I heard this quote somewhere and I can't remember exactly how it goes and I know I'm going to mess it up, but it's, would you rather live the next 99 years the same way every single day for the next 99 years, or would you rather live every single day of every single year following from now, living on with purpose, living on purpose, and being present every day, every moment of your day, and just learning and being open to exploring new things, and then maybe even just changing whatever it is about yourself, like your path? Maybe you thought you were going to be an artist, and maybe you end up, your art becomes poetry, or you're a writer, or maybe you become, you know, whatever that is that you want to be. But if you don't explore that, you'll never know. So I would rather not look back on my life saying with regret, I wish I had. I'd rather live my life now and say, oh, I'm glad I did.
There we go. Live life now. You heard it here today. If you needed that reminder that Leslie and I are saying, you have the permission to explore. Give yourself that permission to explore in your world, in your life, things that you enjoy. It's life changing. Even if it's just, you know, that you've always wanted to make ice cream, but you've never learned how, look it up. Do that. If you want to learn how to you know, or if you haven't exercised and you want to kind of explore the options, then do that. Like we do, we get in our own ways. Totally, yep. Get in our own ways. So Leslie, can you please tell people how they can connect with you?
Absolutely. I think the best place, if you want to get a hold of me, is just go to Facebook. Just my profile is Leslie Gaudette. So it's L-E-S-L-I-E, and then my last name is G-A-U-D-E-T. And then you can just DM me from there, and let's connect. Let's get to know each other.
Yeah. Well, wonderful. Well, Leslie, I so appreciate you taking the hour to have this conversation. I feel so inspired.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love this podcast. So thank you for bringing me on here. And I'm looking forward to supporting you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, really. And these conversations, this space is all about inspiring each other, connecting, and sharing stories. Because we need to bring each other up, to lift each other up. So please, like, follow, and share. And listening to Apple Podcasts, Google, wherever you listen to your podcast, please like and review, because you know it helps with all that analytic stuff to be able to inspire each other and share. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and we'll be talking to you really soon. So goodbye, everybody. Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.